Imagine you're the CEO of a technology company, right? And you just grew an astonishing 340% over the last 12 months.
I mean, that is just unheard of growth.
Right, totally unheard of. Your company's valuation has absolutely skyrocketed to $3.2 trillion.
You should definitely be popping champagne.
Exactly. By every metric on Wall Street, you should be popping champagne on a yacht somewhere. But instead, you're standing at a press podium, giving an interview where you admit that the direction your company is heading, quote, breaks your heart.
Yeah, that is not the victory lap you expect.
Not at all. And today, we are looking at why the biggest winners in the tech industry right now are actually secretly terrified of what they've built and, what they're leaving behind in the process.
Right, because keeping up with the relentless pace of tech news lately, I mean, it can feel like drinking from a fire hose for you.
It really does. But that is exactly why we are here. We've got this incredible roadmap to guide us today.
Yeah, it's a really dense, highly comprehensive industry report. It's titled Tech & Night, and it was just published today, actually, April 20, 2026.
So the mission for this deep dive into the report is pretty straightforward. We're going to unpack six massive tectonic shifts happening across the tech landscape right now.
We're talking boardroom drama, some brutal political tugs of war, and microscopic microchip leaps.
Yeah, and ultimately, we want to figure out what these shifts actually mean for your digital future. Because, none of this is happening in a vacuum.
Exactly. A quiet technical dispute in a boardroom today directly dictates the specific software or, the hardware you will be holding in your hands tomorrow.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have a massive executive exodus at OpenAI, a
Yeah.
super high-stakes legal war over artificial intelligence laws, and that surprisingly heartbreaking confession from the CEO of NVIDIA.
It is a lot to cover.
It is. So let's jump right into the chaos. Part one, the AI shakeups.
It's definitely the perfect place to start because the friction happening inside these foundational AI companies, well, it's no longer staying behind closed doors.
No, it is spilling out into the public market in a truly unprecedented way. Let's look at the timeline the report lays out for OpenAI. So we are currently in mid-April 2026, right?
Right.
On April 15th, the chief technology officer unexpectedly announces they are leaving.
Just out of nowhere.
Totally out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then just 2 days later, on April 17th, the chief product officer jumps ship.
And it doesn't stop there.
No. Another 2 days pass, April 19th, the chief security officer walks out the door. So you have three top executives, basically the core technical brain trust of the entire company, just gone in a matter of days.
And, context is everything here. You really have to look at the financial calendar to understand this.
Right, because this is happening right before a massive Q3 initial public offering.
Yeah, a huge one.
We are talking about an IPO that is expected to value OpenAI at over $100 billion. And the report notes that private share values already dipped about 5% just following the CTO's exit.
That's a massive financial hit right out of the gate.
It is. So I just have to push back here. To me, this makes absolutely no sense. This is like a legendary rock band breaking up the week before they embark on a massive sold-out world stadium tour.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. If the money is about to be this incredibly good, why on earth would you walk away right now?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the imminent massive payday might actually be the catalyst for the fracture.
Wait, really? The money is causing the walkout.
Yeah. When the CTO, the CPO, and the CSO all resign simultaneously, you aren't looking at a coincidence or like a simple career change. You are looking at a fundamental philosophical divide.
So a divide over the technology itself, or how it's being sold.
It's a divide over the core mission. The report highlights some severe internal friction between Sam Altman's aggressive push for rapid commercialization, shipping features constantly.
Right, getting new products to market to justify that $100 billion valuation.
Exactly. The friction is between that push and the internal architecture teams. These executives who left, they were leading the teams focused on security protocols and the methodical, safe rollout of artificial intelligence.
Ah, I see.
Because in the software world, rapid commercialization often means skipping exhaustive, months-long adversarial testing phases just to hit a lucrative market window.
So the people tasked with making sure the artificial intelligence doesn't break or hallucinate or, you know, compromise data, they're the ones looking at the launch schedule and saying, we're moving too fast.
Yeah, basically saying, I don't want my name on this when it goes public.
Wow.
Precisely. And think about it. If you are using ChatGPT to draft sensitive emails right now, or feeding it your company's proprietary data to analyze spreadsheets.
Which everyone is doing.
Right. Well, these are the exact engineers who are keeping that architecture secure. So if the architects abandon the building because they believe the developers are laying bricks too fast to be safe, well, it changes how you should view the structural integrity of the tools you rely on every day.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it's not just internal friction making AI complicated right now. I mean, if the foundation of the leading AI company is fractured, the ground outside the building is a full-on earthquake.
Oh, absolutely.
The government is stepping in, which brings us to the second major shift in our report.
The great regulatory tug of war.
Yes. President Donald Trump has just signed a new executive order titled Integration of AI Regulations, and it is an absolute bombshell for the tech sector.
It really is. It changes everything.
The order essentially bans individual states from creating and enforcing their own artificial intelligence laws. It just strips that power away entirely and shifts all regulatory authority to federal agencies, like the FTC and the FCC.
And this is fundamentally a clash of regulatory philosophies.
Huge clash. Because according to the report, 23 states already have their own AI laws actively on the books. And this current setup is costing tech companies about $2.5 billion annually just in legal compliance.
Which is a staggering amount of money just to figure out what the rules are.
Exactly. So unsurprisingly, the tech industry heavily supports this federal consolidation. But on the flip side, 12 states, including heavyweights like California and New York, are actively preparing to sue the federal government.
Right. They're claiming this executive order violates state rights.
Yeah. And just to be complete and clear here, we are not taking sides on this political battle. We are just looking at the facts in the report.
Of course. Our job is just to map out the friction. And the two competing philosophies here are incredibly distinct.
So break those down for us. What's the federal approach?
Well, the federal approach, as outlined in the new executive order, heavily favors flexible, voluntary testing with moderate financial penalties for non-compliance.
Okay, voluntary testing.
Right. The primary argument here is that innovation requires a unified playing field. If a developer in Austin builds an AI application, but New York requires the algorithm to perfectly explain its output and Texas doesn't, that developer can't launch a nationwide app.
Because they'd be breaking the law in New York.
Exactly. The federal government argues that a patchwork of 50 different state laws creates a barrier to entry so high that only tech monopolies will be able to afford the legal teams required to build AI.
Okay, I mean, that is a very compelling argument for the startup world.
Yeah.
But what about the state approach?
So the state approach, especially in places like California, they argue that voluntary testing is just a polite suggestion. The states favor what the report calls GDPR-level strictness.
Right. And for anyone unfamiliar with the European privacy laws, what does that actually mean in practice?
It means mandatory state-audited testing of AI models before they are ever released to the public. It means total transparency of the training data.
Which the tech companies hate.
Oh, they despise it. And most importantly, it means heavy fines based on a percentage of a company's global revenue. The states argue that without massive financial threats, tech giants will just view moderate federal fines as a minor cost of doing business.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, the immediate casualty of this philosophical war is momentum.
Right, absolutely. This legal battle over state versus federal jurisdiction, it isn't going to be resolved at a district court level next month.
No way. If 12 major states are suing the federal government, this could take years to wind its way to the Supreme Court.
Which puts the tech companies in a bizarre state of limbo.
It really does. Imagine trying to run a business in that environment.
It's impossible. How can you confidently invest billions of dollars to train a new AI model if you genuinely don't know which set of laws will govern it by the time it launches?
Yeah. Do you spend the extra $1 billion to build for the strict California standard just in case? Or do you build for the flexible federal standard and risk having your product legally banned in a dozen states if the Supreme Court rules against the executive order?
Exactly. It creates a massive bottleneck. And that regulatory limbo doesn't just freeze software development, it physically starves the rest of the tech ecosystem.
Which perfectly transitions us to the hardware side of the report. Because if a company doesn't know what their AI model will legally be allowed to do in the wild, they just hoard raw computing power, to test every possible variation in-house.
Right, they just keep testing internally.
And that hoarding is directly stealing hardware out of the hands of everyday consumers.
This is the ripple effect. We are seeing how the insatiable demand for AI is fundamentally breaking legacy hardware supply chains.
And it is completely alienating gamers in the process. The report includes that emotional quote from NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang I mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah, the quote where he admitted his heart was broken.
Yeah, he said that the company's breaking bond with the gaming community. You know, the people who essentially built NVIDIA into the titan it is today, quote, breaks my heart.
It's a really striking admission from a CEO, especially given their current financial dominance.
It really is. The hashtag NVIDIA forgot gamers has been trending heavily. And the numbers completely validate the anger. Gaming GPU inventory is down 35%.
That is a massive drop.
Huge. And I want to share this pricing contest because it is absurd. The new RTX 5090 graphics card has a suggested retail price of $1,999.
Which is already expensive.
Right. But because NVIDIA is dedicating all its fabrication capacity to AI data center chips, the 5090 is effectively a ghost. It is selling for over $3,200 on the secondary market.
Wow.
Yeah. You have teenagers trying to build their first gaming PC being entirely priced out of the hobby.
The underlying mechanism here is finite fabrication space. I mean, you can only print so many silicon wafers a month.
Right.
So right now, every square inch of silicon NVIDIA dedicates to a consumer graphics card is a square inch. They aren't selling to an enterprise AI data center at a massive premium.
And the enterprise data centers are where the unimaginable wealth is.
Mm-hmm.
The report notes that a staggering 82% of NVIDIA's revenue now comes strictly from data centers and AI.
82%? That's incredible.
Yeah, and that pivot has pushed their valuation to an astronomical $3.2 trillion, following a 340% annual revenue growth.
Those numbers are difficult to even wrap your head around.
Which is exactly why I have to challenge this entire narrative. With 340% growth and a $3 trillion valuation, like, why should NVIDIA even care about a trending hashtag on social media?
You're saying, why bother with gamers at all?
Yeah, why does it break Jensen Huang's heart? Aren't gamers just a drop in the bucket now compared to enterprise AI contracts?
Well, on a quarterly earnings spreadsheet today, yes, gamers look mathematically insignificant. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, we are looking at a critical, long-term existential risk to brand loyalty.
How so?
Because enterprise AI is currently experiencing a historic gold rush. Data centers are bulk ordering chips by the thousands. But gold rushes eventually stabilize.
Infrastructure gets built.
Exactly. When the enterprise AI hardware market eventually saturates, the purchasing cycle will slow down.
And when NVIDIA turns back around to sell consumer graphics cards,
the consumer won't be there. Wow. Gamers possess a generational brand loyalty. By abandoning their base and leaving them out to dry with $3,200 price tags and zero inventory, NVIDIA is leaving a massive, glaring opening for competitors.
Like AMD and Intel.
Yes. They can swoop right in. If a teenager builds an AMD machine today because they can't afford NVIDIA, they are likely going to stick with the AMD ecosystem for the next decade.
It's a classic cautionary tale in tech, right? Never chase the enterprise whale if it means entirely neglecting the foundational community that originally funded your ship.
Perfectly said.
So if NVIDIA is leaving consumer gaming hardware behind to print money in the AI data center space, it begs the question, where is the actual consumer hardware innovation happening right now?
And that is the most exciting pivot in the report, because while the AI world is tearing itself apart in boardrooms and courtrooms, consumer hardware innovation is flooding into highly immersive, enclosed ecosystems.
We are talking about massive leaps in virtual reality and next-generation home consoles.
Exactly.
The report highlights three huge developments in this space, starting with Apple. Leaks from the Taiwanese supply chain show Apple is transitioning to a 2-nanometer TSMC fabrication process for the upcoming Vision Pro 2.
The R2 chip.
Right. They are calling it the R2 chip, upgrading from the 5-nanometer R1 chip in the first generation.
Let's translate what 2-nanometer actually means, because it constantly gets thrown around as marketing jargon, but it's a stunning physical achievement that changed the user experience entirely.
Yes. Please explain this mechanism. I always hear these nanometer numbers shrinking year over year, like 5 to 3 to 2, but what does it physically do for the device strapped to my face?
Shrinking the fabrication process from 5 nanometers down to 2 nanometers means you are essentially packing the microscopic transistors much, much closer together.
Okay.
The report notes this architectural shift provides a 60% increase in transistor density. When transistors are closer together, the electrical signals just don't have to travel as far.
Because the data has a shorter commute, basically.
Exactly. It processes significantly faster, and crucially, it generates far less heat and requires less electricity to make the journey.
Which perfectly explains the incredible performance bumps detailed in the report.
Yeah.
Processing latency, so the time it takes for the headset to register your physical head movement and update the screens, that drops from 12 milliseconds to just 7 milliseconds.
That is a massive drop.
And because the chip is so efficient, power consumption drops by 40%, which boosts the battery life from 2 hours to 3 hours.
And that 7-millisecond metric, that is the holy grail. It directly fixes the major physical complaints of the first-generation Vision Pro.
Right, because the first iteration was criticized for getting warm, dying quickly, and having that barely perceptible lag when looking through the cameras at the real world.
Yeah, at 7 milliseconds of delay, you cross a biological threshold.
Wait, really? A biological threshold?
Yeah, your vestibular system, which is the part of your inner ear and brain that manages balance and motion sickness, it literally cannot perceive the delay anymore.
That is wild.
The screen becomes indistinguishable from reality.
That is incredible. But Apple isn't the only one making massive moves in virtual reality. Here is where it gets really interesting. Meta is aggressively doubling down with a totally different approach for their upcoming Quest 4.
The Pismo strategy.
Exactly. Codenamed the Pismo strategy, slated for Q4 of 2026.
They are executing a highly calculated two-tier ecosystem strategy.
Yeah. The report breaks down Pismo low, which is priced aggressively at $399. It features an LCD screen and 8 gigabytes of RAM.
So that's the budget model.
Right. This is clearly aimed at mass market replacement of the older Quest 3.
Yeah.
But alongside it, they're launching Pismo High for $599. That premium tier upgrades to a richer OLED screen, features advanced eye and face tracking, and packs 12 gigabytes of RAM.
And look at their goals here.
Oh, they are ambitious. Meta wants to grow their standalone VR market share from an already dominant 70% to an absolute monopoly of 80%. Mm-hmm. They are targeting 15 million units sold in year one alone.
Let's contrast Meta's philosophy here with Apple's. Apple is building a Ferrari.
Yeah, totally.
They are pushing the absolute bleeding edge of expensive, incredibly advanced 2-nanometer silicon to build the perfect luxury spatial computer. But Meta, on the other hand, is treating VR exactly like the historical video game console wars.
Right. It's not about the profit margin on the hardware itself.
Exactly. Meta is creating a highly strategic, good, better, best bike line to totally dominate the mainstream living room.
Ah, I see.
By offering a $399 entry point, they capture the casual user buying a holiday gift. By offering a $599 premium tier, they prevent the hardcore enthusiasts from jumping ship to Apple. It's an ecosystem trap.
Right, because once you buy into the Meta library of games and apps, you are locked in.
Precisely. They are willing to take a financial hit on the hardware, sacrificing the bleeding edge prestige to ensure that when the average person decides to buy an app in virtual reality, they are buying it on a Meta storefront.
Which brings us to the final fascinating piece of the consumer hardware puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
If you prefer your escapism on a television screen rather than strapped directly to your face.
As many people do.
Right. The report details the biggest hardware leak of the year.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 6, codenamed Orion.
And the leaked specifications on this console are just staggering.
They point to a late 2027 or early 2028 release date. We are looking at an AMD RDNA 5 GPU pushing roughly 34 to 40 teraflops of power.
That's huge.
And it had 30 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory. But the headline feature they are targeting, 8K resolution running at a blistering 120 frames per second.
Unreal.
Oh, and they're planning native backward compatibility all the way back to the original PS1 alongside a native handheld companion device called Project Canis to directly rival the Nintendo Switch 2.
That memory upgrade alone is a massive generational leap. Moving to 30 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory means a game console could hold an entire, densely populated, living, virtual city in its active memory simultaneously.
Wow.
You wouldn't just eliminate loading screens, you would eliminate the concept of areas loading in at all.
I can see how that changes game design entirely.
Yeah.
But I have to push back hard on the headline feature here.
The 8K.
Yes. 8K resolution at 120 frames per second. Are we hitting a wall of diminishing returns here? Honestly, who even owns an 8K television right now?
Very few people.
Right. And more importantly, can the human eye even physically perceive the difference between a 4K and an 8K image when you're sitting on a couch 10 feet away from the screen?
It's a great question, and you're right to be skeptical of the marketing around native 8K. But the secret sauce of the PS6 isn't actually raw brute force graphical rendering power.
Oh, it's not.
No. The report notes that the PS6 includes a dedicated AI NPU, a neural processing unit, built specifically for upscaling and frame generation.
Wait, so the console isn't actually rendering every single microscopic pixel in 8K natively?
No, because doing that natively would require a $3,000 NVIDIA graphics card. This is where the hardware mechanism gets incredibly clever. The console's traditional GPU renders the game at a lower, easily manageable resolution, say standard 1440p or 4K.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then the dedicated AI chip steps in. Think of the traditional GPU as an artist sketching a rough outline, and the AI chip as a master painter who instantly predicts and fills in all the missing details and colors to upscale that image to 8K in real time.
Oh, wow. So this brings our entire deep dive full circle.
It truly does. The insatiable corporate demand for artificial intelligence created the consumer chip shortage in the first place. But now, companies like Sony are utilizing specialized, hyper-efficient AI chips inside the consumer hardware to bypass the need for raw graphical power entirely.
They are using AI to solve the exact hardware limitations that the AI boom created.
Exactly.
That is brilliant design. So let's bring all six of these massive shifts together, because the contrast outlined in this April 20, 2026 report is just incredible to step back and look at.
It really is a study in contrast.
On one side of the tech industry, you have immense, messy human instability. You have the top technical architects walking out of OpenAI right before a $100 billion payday because they're terrified that the commercialization of artificial intelligence is outpacing its safety.
Yeah.
You have the president and state governors locked in a bitter, multi-billion dollar legal war that is paralyzing software development over who actually gets to control these algorithms.
And the hardware shortages.
Right. You even have the CEO of NVIDIA admitting his heart is broken because the insatiable resource demands of this new era are forcing him to abandon the foundational consumer base that built his entire empire.
It is a chaotic, volatile environment driven by friction and regulatory uncertainty.
Exactly. But then you look at the other side of the industry, the consumer hardware side. And over there, companies are quietly building these flawless, lag-free virtual reality headsets with microscopic 2-nanometer chips that biologically trick your brain into believing that digital screens are actual reality.
Yeah, that's 7-millisecond magic.
Right. They're building gaming consoles that use artificial intelligence to instantly generate perfect, seamless 8K worlds. The hardware we use to escape reality is getting smoother, faster, and more perfect, while the corporate and political reality of creating that technology is getting infinitely messier.
This raises an important, lingering question to ponder long after we wrap up today.
What's that?
As this new wave of technology crashes over us, are we racing to build perfectly smooth 8K virtual worlds and fully immersive VR escapism precisely because the real world, with its endless AI regulatory battles, boardroom walkouts, and corporate monopolies, is becoming just a little too complicated to deal with?
Man, that is a phenomenal thought to leave on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the sources and for letting us help you cut through the noise today. Keep questioning the technology that is shaping your world, and we'll catch you next time.